From ABC Radio News, Washington, a special report. Last night at this hour, the National Security Council was thrashing out how best to retaliate against Communist North Vietnam for surprise attacks on American barracks and airfields in South Vietnam. The decision, an airstrike against base areas across the border in North Vietnam from which infiltrators were being sent. The action was announced this morning by the White House. Secretary of Defense McNamara, barely recovered from a touch of pneumonia, was at his desk at 7 to receive reports of the attack and later in the day to reveal the details at a news conference. This is Irv Chapman, ABC Washington. Later in this broadcast, ABC White House correspondent Bill Lawrence and ABC diplomatic correspondent John Skelly will analyze the events of the past 24 hours. But first, recorded highlights of Secretary McNamara's news conference. The secretary stood before a map of Southeast Asia as he began with a description of the original communist raids and the American and South Vietnamese retaliation.
The Viet Cong communist guerrillas carried out 3 attacks, one against installations in the Play Khu area, which is in the central part of South Vietnam, a second at Tui Hoi with an airstrip adjacent to it, an area near the coast, and a third against Vietnamese villages near Nha Trang. The first attack in the Play Khu area was carried out by a company of Viet Cong using 81-millimeter mortars. The mortar fire was directed against the U.S. military compound at the 2nd Corps headquarters of the South Vietnamese military forces, and simultaneously, elements of the same company attacked the airstrip and Camp Holloway, at which were located U.S. helicopter forces on the outskirts of Play Khu. This latter attack on the airstrip was accompanied by a ground probe during which small arms fire was used, rifle grenades, demolition charges, and recoilless rifles. Following completion of the attacks, a Viet Cong 4-tube 81-millimeter mortar position was located outside the perimeter defense of the airstrip. Nearby were containers for 61 mortar rounds. The U.S. casualties in the Play Khu area were 7 killed, 109 wounded, and of the 109, 76 of the wounded required evacuation. In addition, 5 U.S. helicopters were destroyed, 9 to 11 damaged, and 6 U.S. fixed-wing aircraft were damaged. The second attack at Tui Hoi was directed against Vietnamese villages in the area and against the storage tanks for aviation gas for the Vietnamese Air Force stationed at the Chop Chai airfield. Again, 81-millimeter fire was used. The storage tanks of aviation gas were set on fire. There were no U.S. casualties in that area. The third attack, as I mentioned earlier, was against a village or a series of villages about 15 miles northeast of Nha Trang. The reports of operations in this area are fragmentary, and I can't give you the results other than to say that we believe there were no U.S. casualties there. Immediately following the attack, U.S. representatives in Saigon met with representatives of the South Vietnamese government. They jointly agreed that joint retaliatory action was required. The president's approval of this action was given after the action was discussed with and recommended by the National Security Council at a meeting held between 7:45 p.m. and 9 p.m. last night. As a result of this action, elements of the U.S. and South Vietnamese Air Forces were directed to launch joint retaliatory attacks against barracks and staging areas in the southern portion of North Vietnam. These are the areas which Hanoi has used as bases for the infiltration of men and equipment out of South Vietnam, or out of the southern portion of North Vietnam, across the border into Laos, down the corridor through Laos, and into South Vietnam. U.S. aircraft took off from 3 U.S. carriers that were steaming in the South China Sea. These carriers were steaming south of the 17th parallel, which is the line of demarcation between North and South Vietnam, about 100 miles off the coast of South Vietnam. The 3 carriers were the U.S. Ranger, U.S. Hancock, and Coral Sea. Of the aircraft which took off from the carriers, 49 struck the Dong Hoi barracks and staging area in the southern part of North Vietnam. Certain other U.S. aircraft and certain South Vietnamese aircraft aborted because of adverse weather conditions and did not proceed to their target areas. Photo reconnaissance of the results of the strike is not yet available, but the combat crews, upon their return to the carriers, reported seeing heavy fires, heavy smoke, and substantial damage to military targets in the target area. One U.S. aircraft, an A-4 from the carrier Coral Sea, was lost. The pilot was seen to eject into the sea. Air-sea rescue operations are underway. All other aircraft returned safely to their bases.
After that opening announcement, reviewing the events of the past 24 hours, Secretary McNamara invited questions. With him was Acting Secretary of State George Ball. Mr. McNamara was asked to expand on the White House announcement earlier of two additional measures to clear the decks for possible further war effort.
How many dependents will be brought back as a result of the order to evacuate U.S. dependents from South Vietnam? There are approximately 800 dependents of U.S. military personnel, either civilian or military, functioning for the Department of Defense in South Vietnam. There are approximately 1,000 other U.S. dependents, dependents of aid administration and embassy personnel in South Vietnam. These will be withdrawn on an orderly basis. Second question related to the Hawk Battalion. What is it? Why is it being sent to South Vietnam? It's being sent to Da Nang, which is in this area, to increase the air defense capability of the forces in Da Nang. It's a precautionary measure.
Yes. Were there a total then of 49 sorties or 49 planes that made repeated sorties?
49 aircraft and 49 sorties. Yes.
Mr. Secretary, do you regard this latest incident as perhaps even more serious than the Gulf of Tonkin episode?
I think it's quite clear that this was a test of the will, a clear challenge of the political purpose of both the U.S. and South Vietnamese governments. It was a test and a challenge, therefore, which we couldn't fail to respond to, which neither the South Vietnamese government nor the U.S. government could fail to respond to without misleading the North Vietnamese as to our intent and the strength of our purpose to carry out that intent. Yes.
Mr. Secretary, bombing comes at a time when Sylvia Premier Kosygin is in Hanoi. Could this be interpreted in any way as a warning to the Soviet Union about their getting involved in Vietnam?
This is a question which I believe Mr. Ball, the Acting Secretary of State, could answer better than I, George.
I don't think it's very useful to speculate on the relation of this to Mr. Kosygin's happening to be in Hanoi at the present time. I would remind you that the Soviet government does have obligations itself to see to the independence of South Vietnam, since it is a party to the 1954 Accords.
Mr. Secretary.
Yes.
A statement issued in Saigon indicated that recoilless rifle fire came from as close as 30 yards from one of the complexes. Does this indicate that perimeter security has been deficient?
The question is, how does one interpret the fact that recoilless rifle fire came from as close as 30 yards in one of the attacks? This, by the way, was on the attack on the airstrip at Pleiku. And does it indicate lack of perimeter security? The fact is that the attack was carried out in the dead of night. It was a sneak attack. It's typical of guerrilla operations. It's the kind of attack that it's almost impossible to provide effective security against. I think it's the type of attack we must expect more of in this type of war.
Mr. Secretary, yes. In view of the fact that part of the planes aborted because of bad weather over the target, you contemplate there will be further raids?
Obviously, I could make no comment about any future military operations. Yes.
Mr. Secretary, are you saying then that the most powerful nation in the world cannot protect their own forces in South Vietnam? Here we've had over 106 people wounded, over 7 killed, and you say that we have no way of protecting our own forces in South Vietnam?
The attack on Pleiku, following which there were 7 killed and 106 U.S. wounded, was carried out by 81-millimeter mortar fire located from a perimeter about 2/3 of a mile from the edge of the airfield. Those of you who have been in the Pleiku area know that it is a central plateau area, generally clear, but dotted with clumps of underbrush and heavy foliage, which makes ideal points of vantage from which to carry on covert sneak mortar attacks in the dead of night. I don't believe it'll ever be possible, and I think when I say this, I reflect the views of our own Joint Chiefs. I don't believe it'll ever be possible to protect our forces against sneak attacks of that kind.
Secretary, yes. Are we sending other American military units toward that area?
We have sent today a Hawk Battalion into Da Nang, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. We are prepared for whatever other eventualities we may face.
Where is the Hawk unit coming from, sir?
Coming from the far Pacific.
Mr. McNamara,
yes.
The fact that we struck at southern bases in North Vietnam, are you saying then that we know definitely that the North Vietnam instigated or participated in this attack on these three places?
Captured documents which we have obtained from individuals who have been infiltrated through this corridor, plus prisoner of war reports that we have obtained in recent months, lead us to believe that the volume of infiltration has expanded substantially. The number of men infiltrated in 1964, for example, was probably twice the number infiltrated in 1963. This plus other evidence leads us to believe that Hanoi has consciously and purposely stepped up the pressure against the South Vietnamese. And we have every reason to believe, based on our intelligence sources, that the attack on Pleiku, Thuy Hoi, and Nha Trang was ordered and directed and masterminded directly from Hanoi. Yes?
Are we going through the same exercise in the Pacific now of 50 units this August?
Without discussing the unit movements of any which we have made, I simply want to repeat what I said earlier, that our forces are on alert and that we are prepared for whatever eventuality develops. Yes?
How are the Navy planes armed?
The planes carried bombs, high-explosive bombs, and rockets. No napalm was used. Yes?
Enemy air opposition?
Yes. I shouldn't say enemy air. They met ground fire. Ground fire was moderate in the target area. There was no enemy air opposition. The plane that was lost to ground fire. Yes.
Mr. McNamara, in view of our sending in the Hawk Battalion, could you give us your current assessment of the air power capability in North Vietnam?
Until relatively recently, the North Vietnamese possessed no combat aircraft. There is evidence that in the past several months, the Communist Chinese have moved certain MiG aircraft into North Vietnam, presumably to be operated for the account of the North Vietnamese. It would be idle for me to speculate as to how those aircraft would be used. We've simply taken the necessary precautions to protect Da Nang and other areas against their use. Yes.
The target areas that we hit, are they the only ones we hit or the only ones we're announcing?
They are the only ones we hit. And because of that, the only ones we're announcing, yes.
Since for the first time, South Vietnamese and American aircraft took part in the joint action, do you consider this a turning point in the war in South Vietnam?
No, I don't consider it a turning point.
Sir, on yes. that point, it goes back to my first. Did the South Vietnamese aircraft actually run a strike and hit any targets?
South Vietnamese aircraft were turned back, as were certain U.S. aircraft turned back by adverse weather conditions over the target.
Secretary,
yes.
Was this a tit-for-tat raid that we've spoken of in the past, or is it an indication that we're setting things up a little more?
I wouldn't wish to characterize this as a tit-for-tat raid. It was a clear and necessary response to a test and a challenge of will and purpose and policy, a test that was clearly intended as a test by the North Vietnamese and a test directed both against the South Vietnamese government and the U.S. government.
South Vietnamese aircraft are operating off U.S. carriers?
No, the South Vietnamese aircraft operated from bases in South Vietnam.
Why yes. does it follow then that in the future that this type of attack is carried out from either from the north or by the Viet Cong? That this type of response will follow?
I don't wish to speculate on action we may take in the future. I do wish to refer your attention again to a paragraph that was contained in the statement released by the White House this morning, a paragraph which reflects the statements that the President, the Secretary of State, and I have made on numerous occasions in the past several months as to whether this government will respond in the future as we have responded today. We wish to emphasize we seek no wider war. Our response will depend upon the action of the aggressors, in this case, the North Vietnamese. The key to the situation remains the cessation of infiltration from the north into the south. And the key to the situation remains the clear indication by Hanoi that it will abide by the agreements of 1952 and that it's prepared to cease aggression against its neighbor, South Vietnam. Now, our actions will depend upon the degree to which the North Vietnamese carry out those previous international agreements.
So far as this specific retaliation is concerned, I think at the destroyer, time of the destroyer incident, you indicate or you said that, that our response had been completed for that incident. Is this true today?
I wouldn't wish to make any predictions as to the future. Yes, Warren.
Your statement about the wider war, would it be fair to interpret that as an ultimatum or a threat?
Certainly not. It's no threat, no ultimatum. It's simply a statement of policy, which we have stated many, many times in the past several months. Yes?
Secretary, what is today's estimate of the stability of the Vietnamese government? Has that situation improved any?
Well, this is a question I think Secretary Ball could address.
There is a government in Saigon with which we are working. The government in Saigon was fully cooperative with us and quite eager to see the carrying out of the operation last night. And we are very hopeful that we will be able to work effectively with that government in the weeks to come. The question of the stability of the government in Saigon, of course, has been a troublesome one, but we have an effective working relation with the present government, and we're very hopeful that we can continue and that it can strengthen its own authority and its ability to conduct this war.
Mr. Secretary,
yes.
Can you explain why the Navy planes were able to get through the weather and the Air Force, and that's what they were, and the Vietnamese were not?
The weather varied over the target area. It happened that some Navy planes got through and some Navy planes did not. The planes from the Ranger, for example, took off but were not able to penetrate to their target because of cloud formations.
Mr. Secretary, you described their behavior as a challenge a couple of times. Is that the overall description that you used?
I think it was a very clear challenge and test of our political purpose and strength of will. George, perhaps you'd like to comment further on that.
No, I think taking all the circumstances here, that there's no question that this was a deliberate, overt attempt by the regime in Hanoi to test the will of the South Vietnamese government, as Secretary McNamara said, and of the government of the United States. This was a situation where we could not have failed to respond without giving a very misleading signal to the government to the regime in Hanoi. And it's very important that they understand the strength of the American purpose and the purpose of the government in South Vietnam. And I'm very hopeful that as a consequence of this action, they will realize how firm that determination is and that it is not in their interest to try to continue this aggression against the people and the government of South Vietnam.
Yes.
Mr. Secretary, we all know that you've been recently hospitalized. And could we ask you personally how you're feeling? Did you sleep well last night?
Weak. My temperature is normal. I'm feeling very well. I expect to be back to the office tomorrow morning.
Thus did Secretary of Defense McNamara make known the details of the communist attacks and the airstrike in retaliation. It was easy to draw a parallel with the Gulf of Tonkin crisis of last fall, but there was more to it than that, according to ABC State Department correspondent John Skelly.
Diplomatically, the new American air attacks against North Vietnam have far more significance than last August's airstrikes against the North Vietnamese gunboat bases. The attacks last summer were strictly tit-for-tat, retaliation against a specific communist action. In this case, the attempted PT boat attack against our destroyers in the Gulf of Tonkin. But today's explanation makes it clear that the newest retaliation is not just intended to avenge the three Viet Cong attacks against South Vietnamese and American ground bases. Both Acting Secretary of State George Ball and Defense Secretary McNamara speak of our counteraction as a direct response to a communist challenge of our will and determination to keep South Vietnam free. To have failed to act, as Secretary Ball pointed out, might have given the communists the wrong kind of signal, namely the impression that the Americans might be wearying of this war. So, in effect, although no one says it publicly in these words, it represents a deliberate decision to escalate the fighting in hope that the firm action will cause the communists to ease off in their guerrilla war in South Vietnam. It's doubtful that it will have this effect, coming at a time when the North Vietnamese appear more confident of victory over a South Vietnamese government which changes faces every couple months. But notice has been served on the communists, including Russia's visiting Premier Kosygin, that more such American air raids can be expected. This is John Scalley, ABC, the State Department.
ABC White House correspondent Bill Lawrence is a veteran observer of the crises of the Cold War. He puts this one in perspective.
Washington's latest day of crisis dawned gloomy, rainy, and cold. But the lights in the White House had burned much of the night, and the top staff already was a bustle at an early hour. Saturday night in secret, the National Security Council had decided on retaliatory raids against communist North Vietnam. And while most Americans slept, but the president slept little, the airstrikes were carried out. The NSC was summoned into emergency session again at 8 o'clock this morning. And the president, mindful of his long-term problem of congressional relations, invited the bipartisan Republican and Democratic leaders from Capitol Hill to join their deliberations. The mood and atmosphere of the White House was one of crisis. Crisis unmatched perhaps since the days of the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962, before Soviet Premier Khrushchev backed down and pulled his nuclear warheads out of Cuba. The NSC, the top military men, and the president agreed on an immediate beef-up of American strength in South Vietnam. The first step was deployment of a Hawk missile anti-aircraft battalion, and the threat was implicit to send in more military men, perhaps even combat units if they were needed. And Mr. Johnson stated in his own words his conclusion that Hanoi had undertaken a more aggressive course in that battle area, and the United States now had no choice but to make absolutely clear our continued determination to back South Vietnam in its fight to maintain its independence. And with this military buildup, there came the equally sobering order for an orderly withdrawal of the 1,800 military and civilian dependents in South Vietnam, always a sign that real danger exists. This is Bill Lawrence in Washington.
So once again, we wait to see whether the communists will now be heard from in response to our response. The significance of today's incidents is, of course, increased by the presence in North Vietnam of Soviet Premier Kosygin. The Soviets were informed of the reasons for the U.S. action, and given the message that the United States does not wish to widen the Vietnamese war, but does mean to stop the communists from widening it. Secretary McNamara reported a step up in North Vietnamese infiltration. He noted the increased air power assigned by communist China, and he suggested North Vietnam was escalating the war and must be dissuaded by strong U.S. and South Vietnamese action. And if a negotiated settlement is ever attempted, the U.S. would want to negotiate from a position of the greatest strength it could muster. ABC Radio News has brought you this special report highlighting and analyzing Secretary of Defense McNamara's news conference at the Pentagon this afternoon. This is Irv Chapman, ABC Washington.